please, and turn to the book of John. We're looking this morning at chapter 9, beginning in verses 35 and reading to verse 41. Beloved, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. And what I love about that clip you just saw is that Jesus himself didn't just throw the rope down. He went down in the hole and he put his arms around the man and he took him out of the hole. And if you're a Christian this morning, that has happened to each one of you. Christ himself came and opened your eyes and gave you life and light. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, that is, out of the synagogue, because he claimed to believe in Jesus, he found him and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Well, who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" he asked. And Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind." And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things, and they asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have any sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us right now to come to your word as a people who love it, who love the grace and truth it contains, who embrace it, and who long with every fiber of their being to live it out in our lives. Father, impact us right now with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10 tells us. And the story of this blind man in John chapter 9 models it for us. A man who could not see, who was poor and unable to help himself, Jesus came along and restored to him not just his physical sight, but in the end of this passage, he restored to him his spiritual eyes. He gave him eyes to see spiritual things, and light came into the man's life. Blindness, all through the Bible, is a common metaphor for spiritual death, for separation from God, for being unsaved. Those who aren't saved are often called blind. We sing about it. Everybody knows the song, "Once I was blind, but now I can see." Or, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart." Or how about, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." That's what God's Spirit does. Or how about, "There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light." The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the glory of God. And a song we're going to sing at the end of our message today is, "After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met." This is all true. The plight of the unregenerate man is blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Regarding them, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." Blindness prohibits seeing. Blindness stops light. The first thing God did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Number one on God's agenda was to make light so there could be sight. Matthew 4:16, when Jesus came, Matthew said, "A light has dawned. People who live in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow land of death, light has dawned." Jesus has come. Messiah was sent in Luke chapter 1 because of God's merciful compassion. Because of God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Therefore, Jesus, John 8:12, Jesus is, He said, I am the light of the world. Sinners hate light. John chapter 3, verse 20 says, everyone who practices these things hates the light and avoids it. Praise God, in John 1:5, we know that the light will prevail in the end. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. In salvation, in Colossians 1:3, what has God done? He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. He takes us out of darkness when He saves us. Your affections as a person, as a believer, as a Christian, your very affections are linked to your body being filled with either darkness or light. Matthew 6, 23, 22 and 3, the writer Matthew says, the eye of the lamp of the body, if your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Christ sent Paul to open the eyes of the blind. In Acts chapter 26, Paul responding to Christ in the Damascus Road, I said, Paul says, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness of these things that you have seen and of the things which will appear to you. And I will rescue you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. Moving from darkness to light is moving from hating God to loving God. It's moving from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 5, you as a believer are commanded to be salt and light. John 12:36 says, everyone who believes is a son of light. We are recipients of grace so that we might shed the light of the mystery of God. Ephesians 3:9. Revelations 3, verse 17 rebukes Christians who have forgotten the grace that saved them from their blindness. The Apostle John writing says, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I need nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked, because they had forgotten the very grace of God that drug them out of the pit. One of the clear markers of whether someone is a Christian or not is if they walk in, is if they practice the light. In 1 John chapter, actually the whole book of 1 John talks about Christians being those who walk in the light, those who practice it. In his book, An Anthropologist on Mars, neurologist Oliver Sacks tells about Virgil, a man who was born blind, was blind from his childhood all the way up till he was age 50. And when he was 50, he underwent surgery and was given the gift of sight for the first time in his life. But as he and Dr. Sachs found out, having the physical capacity for sight is not the same thing as seeing. Virgil's first experiences with sight were very confusing. He was able to make out some colors and movements, but to arrange them into a coherent picture was difficult for him. Over time, he learned to identify various objects, but his habits and his behaviors were still just like those of a blind man. Dr. Sachs asserted that one must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person. And it is the interim, the limbo that is so terrible. And to truly see Jesus and His truth means more than observing what He did or said. It means eyes that see everything in my life and everything in the world in the context of a new person with new eyes. And that's what happened to the blind man in John chapter 9. We can learn from this passage if we want to be faithful. and obedient to Christ, who tells us that we are to light up our world. What does that look like? To restore sight, number one, we must seek to save the lost. That's what Jesus did. I love it. The first part of the first verse from our text today says, when Jesus heard they threw the man out of the synagogue, he found him. He sought him out. Jesus, I was so gripped with that in my study. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And we read about him in the gospel. It's what he was doing. He went and he found the man. My question for us today is, who are you seeking with the gospel, with the light? Who are you searching for? It's such a treat on Wednesday nights at 6:30 and 7 in the conference room to see a few people come together and put names up on the board and pray for people that we don't know about their salvation. And we go out that night two by two and we seek them at their house and we talk to them. We send persons to say, are you a believer? Do you know Christ? And some say yes and some say no, because we're seeking them out. And for us to restore sight to a lost world, we must seek to do it. Is there anyone in your life right now that you are seeking, that if you find them, you want to share the gospel and talk to them about having light that will never go away? I lost my cell phone this week. I'm still kind of ticked off about this. But I was putting out a fire in a cornfield, believe it or not. I was putting out a fire and I was dancing around like a crazy man. And my cell phone bounced off of my body wherever I had it, in my pocket or something. I lost it. I was unable to find it. And I shared the story with several, and some said, you know, well, did you try and, you know, call it and find it? And I'm like, yeah. And somebody said, well, maybe if you would have waited till it was dark out and called it in the dark, even if the ringer wasn't going, you could see a little tiny light, you know, in the cell phone and the dirt and the grass there. And I thought to myself, it was the obvious assumption that if I lose my cell phone, I would try to find it. Think about it, right? It just, you wouldn't even say, well, did you try to look for it? No, I wouldn't want to look for myself. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. What? It's absurd. I lost it. I got out. I'm standing in the dirt. It's within a 20-foot circle of me. I know where the fire was. Right there I am. It's like, dial the phone. It's just obvious that if I lose that, I would try to find it. Someone said, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And beloved, if we aren't seeking to save the lost, if we aren't seeking to find those people that need the gospel, if we don't have an agenda that's like that, it's never going to happen, right? It seems like it's such a no-brainer, and yet we have to remind ourselves that part of the reason that God put us on earth to be His servants and His messengers was to seek, like He did, to save the lost by sharing the gospel of the light of the glory of Christ. Beloved, seek to save the lost. If there is nobody in your life right now that you are seeking to share the gospel with, change that right now. Ask God to put a name in your bulletin, a name in your Bible, someone somewhere that you want to be able to share the gospel with them, to seek to share light with them. Number two, share the gospel. Verse 36, it's very interesting. Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the guy says, well, who is He, sir, that I may believe in Him? And I think that might be the single biggest question going on out there as we reach people for Christ today, is I don't think that people anymore have an idea about what the church is about and who Christ is and what He did. He's the Son of God. I don't think people even know that anymore. I think we're living in a largely post-Christian culture, and I think we have to start from scratch. And I think we visit people and they say, oh yeah, you know, God, that's cool and all that stuff. And it's like, do you know who Christ is? I think the answer more often than not is, no, I really don't know who Christ is. And the man said it well in the Bible in John 9:36. He says, well, who is He so I can believe in Him? And Jesus goes, I'm it. I'm Christ. I'm right here, right in front of you. And the guy's like, no. Share the gospel. Tell people who Christ is. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the sinless, perfect, holy Son of God who came to seek and save the lost. He's the sinless Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He came down. He threw the rope down over the side. He came down to earth to walk among men. People say all the time, not all the time, but I hear it regularly, someone would say, well, if Jesus is God, why does He just come down and say so? And I always say, He did. He did. He came. And He said, hi, I'm God. Share the gospel. The man said, who is He that I believe? Isn't that the gospel? Who is Christ? It's the gospel. Christ is in the image of God. He's the sinless Son of God. He paid for sins, paid for yours. He's the image of the invisible God. We're going to hear this song in a couple of weeks. Our kids are going to sing it. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And by Him all things were created, things invisible. All thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. I love that song we sang. I was thinking as we sang it, that high and lifted up, seated on a throne. You know why Christ is seated on the throne? Because He's done. He did His job. He paid for sins once and for all on the cross, and He sat down at the right hand of God because He did His work. When He said on the cross that it was finished, telestai, He was serious. And all that's left is for us to share the gospel, the light of the joys of Christ, to seek and to save those who are lost, to share the gospel with them. Seek to save the lost and share the gospel with them when you find them. And then say what Christ said. Say what Christ said. Christ said, believe in Me. Now you don't say that. Don't say to someone you're witnessing. Don't say believe in Me. You say believe in Christ. That's what you must do. Just recently, I was sharing the gospel with a man, and I said, if Jesus Christ was sitting right here right now, I know exactly what He would say to you. He would say, repent, turn from your sin, trust and follow Me. That's what Christ said. When you share the gospel, say what Christ said. I think we spend way too much time looking for little tricks or angles or some way to maybe we can, I know, if we can just get this method down, if we can find a new way to reach people, or I know, maybe this method works. If we just tell people what Christ said and share the gospel and seek Him out, people will be saved. That is just a reality. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to do it in a kind way and a way that is not offensive, but it means that if we just tell people what Christ said, people will come to faith in Christ. Jesus Christ has been seen. He has spoken. We have His words recorded in the Bible, and we are to tell people what He said. And that is believe in Me. Believe in Christ. Trust in Him. Number four, this is so very important. Expect worship. We should be seeking, like Jesus did, to save the lost. We should be seeking to share the gospel with them. We should tell them what Christ said. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. And then we should expect worship. Conversion without worship isn't conversion, beloved. The man in verse 38 says, I believe, Lord, he said, and he worshiped Him. What it means to believe in Christ. It means to be a worshiper. This is consistent with Scripture. John 4:23 says that true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. Being a Christian means being a worshiper. Someone told me just last week, you've all heard this before, someone told me that they don't go to church because it's better to be fishing and thinking about God than to be in church thinking about fishing. That is not true. Okay, that's a false statement. It is best to be worshiping and worshiping God and let the rest fall where it may. But don't let that statement throw you. That's ridiculous. Christians, by definition, are worshipers. In Acts 16:14, Lydia was a believer. Remember that? She was a seller of purple. And you know how she was described? Lydia was one who worshipped God. That means she was a Christian. That's how they said it. Paul didn't say, or Luke didn't say, oh, now Lydia, now she was in the fellowship of God and she made a profession of faith and then she came to church a lot and did all. No, he said she worshiped God. That means she's a believer. In Acts chapter 18, the same thing. Justice also is talked about in Acts chapter 18, and Luke described him. Justice was a worshiper of God. That means he was a Christian. If you're a Christian, you worship God. Now, you might do it poorly sometimes or not as good as sometimes, but by definition, a Christian is a worshiper, and we should expect that from people who say they want to turn from their sins and trust in Christ and follow Him. Because if you acknowledge that Jesus is who He said He is, you must acknowledge your call to worship Him and to be a worshiper. Beloved, when you come to Christ, you come to worship. That's what happens. And lastly, understand the stakes. Understand the stakes of what we're talking about. Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. And some of the Pharisees who heard Him said, we aren't blind too. And Jesus said, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sinned. But now you say we see, so your sin remains. Jesus came because the difference between embracing the light and embracing Christ and being a believer is the difference between heaven and hell, and the stakes are high. And so we seek to save the lost because not only just because God told us to, but the stakes are so high. The eternal destiny of men's souls rests on the gospel being shared. And let me just remind you, it doesn't necessarily rest on the fact that you can do a good or bad job at it. The Bible says when the gospel goes out, it will be effective, it'll be fruitful, and lives will be changed, and eyes will be opened, and lights will come on in the lives of people. If we just share it, that's why in 2006 we talked about Soul 6, because it was so important that we're just sharing our faith, that we're just sowing seeds in the lives of people. Here's the amazing part. John MacArthur said this a couple of weeks ago. We were up in the cities and I heard him speak. I love what he said. He said, we have an unbelievable message, right? It's unbelievable that God would send His Son down to a broken world that is full of sinners and chaos. God would send His Son down and would give His life and sacrifice and be killed on a cruel cross and tortured like a common criminal, that if you put your faith in His work on the cross, you would be saved. It's an unbelievable message. We have an unbelievable message delivered through weak vessels. That's you and me. You want to feel weak in this life? Just be all about the kingdom of God and sharing the gospel and doing what's right and seeing people come to know the Lord, and you will never feel your incompetence more than when you're constantly working to share the gospel and seeing people that defy it, refuse to believe it, and you feel like there's nothing you can do and all you've got is to faithfully share the truth. We share an unbelievable message through weak vessels, that's you and me, to people who are blind and cannot see it and are deaf and cannot hear it, but life and death is at stake. Right? But God says if we're faithful, if we share the truth, a light will come on. Eyes will be open and we get to participate in the work that God does. There are several doctors in the room. I know most of you that are doctors. We've had even some that visited the last couple of weeks. If you were able to give sight to the blind as a doctor, you would be known around the world in almost a moment, wouldn't you? The line would go from here to Minneapolis and the jet planes would fill the air and the Rochester airport would be all plugged up with blind people, because if you could give sight to the blind, you would be so popular. But Christian, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing better than that. You're telling people who can't see the glory of Christ, who can't see God, who don't understand, you're telling them what it takes to become a believer, what it takes for the scales to fall off their eyes for them to believe. When you are sharing the gospel, you're doing better than just giving physical sight. You're giving spiritual sight to people who will believe. You're offering a cure for the damning influence of spiritual blindness and darkness and offering the light of the glory of God in Christ. And the way that God takes away blindness is when you and I share the gospel. That's how it works. Sometimes I wish God would have thought of a better way than sharing the gospel through weak vessels like this, but it's how He does it. Romans 10 tells us, how shall they hear except someone tells them? And how shall someone tell them except they be sent? And brother, consider yourselves sent to share the gospel of Christ. And here's the beauty. If we are faithful to what we know we should do, we will see lights come on and scales fall off and blind people see. That will happen. The Bible says it. For 51 years, Bob Edens was blind and he couldn't see a thing. His world was black and all he had was sounds and smells and touch, and sometimes the touch wasn't too good if he would trip and fall. And he felt this way through 5 decades of darkness, and then one day he could see. You see, a skilled surgeon performed a complicated operation on his eyes, and for the first time in 51 years, Bob Edens had sight. He found it so overwhelming. I never would have dreamed, he said, that yellow is so yellow. And I don't have the words to explain. I'm so amazed by yellow, but then I see red, and I think, oh, red's my favorite color. I just can't believe red, and I can see the shape of the moon, and I love it, and I like nothing better than seeing a jet plane flying across the sky, leaving a vapor trail. That's so cool. And, of course, sunrises and sunsets, I just can't even describe them with my new eyes. And at night, I look at the stars in the sky and I see all the flashing lights, and you never know how wonderful everything is until you can see. And beloved, unbelievers don't think Christ is wonderful because they can't see Him. And you can. It's exactly what happens when a person is given spiritual eyes where there once was blindness. A light comes where there was always darkness, and Christ becomes beautiful and desired and able to be worshipped. And that's the mission that we're a part of. To share God's truth to any who are able to see for their good and God's glory. Are you about that mission? To share the good news of the gospel so blind eyes can see? Oh, Christian, I pray that you are. Let's pray. Father, we believe your word, and we believe everything that we have talked about this morning. Father, forgive me when I do not live out what I believe, and help us as your people in this place, in this time, in this city. Help us to seek and save the lost. Help us to seek them out and to share the gospel, to tell them who Christ is, and to teach them and help them to worship you when they find you. Father, I pray for souls that we reach because, not because we're smart or have the right idea, just because we're faithful to what your word tells us to do. And may we see blind people coming with new eyes all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.